Timothy, again, bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. It's always good to see so many who have that desire to attend a time of worship, and so appreciate that desire and your attendance today very, very much. Good to get together. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. I've got to ask my brethren to look around. If you see someone, especially if they're a guest that does not have a bulletin, go ahead and feel free to get up and get one or share, and do that, please. The title of the lesson is The Judgment of God. The Judgment of God. You ever judged anyone or judged something? I know the first thing somebody says, when you use the word judge, oh, I don't judge. Really? Have you ever criticized anyone? Offered advice, made a determination. You ever chosen one item over another? Done that? How about expressed a personal preference? Oh, I like that. Ooh, that's horrible. You ever given your opinion to someone, even when they haven't asked for it? Oh, yeah, done that. Ever said, I wouldn't do that. Ever said, oh, what a horrible color. Now think back about your journeys on the way home after worship. What have I said? Ever said, oh, you need to do this. That's not the way to do that. That sermon's way too long. Ever made a judgment? Criticism? Or you think, wow, did you mess that up? Who made you the judge? Yeah. See? And even sometimes we're unjust in our judgment, and sometimes we're even totally wrong. Sometimes we make a judgment, and then we get some more information, and then we have to kind of back up and say, oh, I didn't know that. I was wrong. Ooh, I'm sorry. See? We make judgments, sometimes right or wrong. It's our opinion. And we recognize a need for courts of judgment in our society. I have that. We have rules and laws for behavior. There's judgments all around us as we live our daily lives. We live under a judicial system. We have even, in our system, we even have an appeal process if we don't like the judgment that was made. Parents set up rules and regulations for their children. Employers have rules and regulations for employee judgments. This is what you're going to do if you want a paycheck. My judgment is that you'll do this, show up on time. Teachers have rules and regulations for students. Did that in my classroom when I taught. Yeah, rules and regulations. These are things you do. And if my students didn't break one of those, but they still misbehaved or something, I would add another judgment to their already existing laws. So verse 1 of the text, and it's in your introduction, Paul says, therefore, in other words, because of this, my conclusion is, we are inexcusable, or thou, O man, that means you and me too, we're inexcusable. It means because we make judgments, who are we to say to God, my judgment is that God should not make judgments against us. Get the irony of that? My judgment. Or like God who made you the judge? God, you can't judge me. Who are you to judge? Oh. Or God, my judgment is that you shouldn't have a judgment day. My judgment. See, we're judging. We make that criticism. My judgment or God is that there is no God. Because we make judgments in life, we can't order God to eliminate His judgment day. Who are we to say, God, you shouldn't judge when we judge? God's not out of line. God's not out of order. give us our lesson this morning. Number one, it's in verse 2. It says, but we are sure. Oh, we're sure. Confident means. We know, Paul said, that the judgment of God is according to truth. To truth. And we judge by personal likes and dislikes. And somebody else, we can ask them, what do you think about that? They may even disagree with us. Maybe even both of us are right in our own eyes. You know, we judge by feelings. We judge sometimes by majority rule. What does the group think? And that will determine our judgment, our conclusion. Oh, but the judgment of God is according to truth. I know what that is. Put your notes. In the Bible, John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. His word. And then it says in John chapter 12, also in verse 48, in the words of Jesus, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. Oh, I want to know what's the one thing that would judge me. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. His word is truth, and it's his word that will judge us in the last day. It's the word of God, it's the Bible, that's the law that will determine our salvation on judgment day by the way we respond to it. And also, by the way, ignorance of the law is no excuse. You knew that, didn't you? You can't even go to another country. And if you do something that violates the law there, you can't plead, oh, I didn't know. Now, they might be merciful or gracious and slap your hand. But they, even other countries, recognize if you're a visitor here, ignorance of the law is not an excuse for you to violate the law. Even in Christianity, in life. Number two in your notes. So number one, God's judgment is going to be according to truth. Second, in verse 3, says, and do you think that you shall escape the judgment of God? You really think? In other words, are you imagining to yourself, I think I can get out of God's judgment? Do you really, and the idea of thinking, the word is that there's a mathematical chance that there's a way of escaping God's judgment? Is that your thought process? Okay, so there's a judgment of God. That's okay, because I'm not going to show up. I may get the summons, but I'm not going to appear. Well, sometimes we want God to think like us. So I put in your notes, so there's four ways that we escape man's judgment. We probably think, there's probably half a dozen ways to escape God's judgment. Because I can escape judgment here. I think I can escape judgment there. Well, number one, we can escape man's judgment because it's possible that the offense will go undetected, remain unknown. It's possible that I could commit a crime and never be brought to judgment or to court. In the courts of the land. That's possible. A lot of times that's a motivation to commit crime, isn't it? Well, don't answer out loud. But I've known people even say to me, come on, Brian, let's go do this. We won't get caught. Come on, Brian, we'll never be brought to judgment. Nobody will know. Oh, really? Really? Well, if I commit a crime, I know. Told me nobody will know. I know. God knows. My partner in crime knows. Whoever they tell will know. Because they can't keep a secret. We think we got away with it. Come over here. Let me tell you what we did. Nobody knows. If you don't repent of it in day of judgment, everybody will know. But sometimes we think, we can go undetected. Second, sometimes people think, I can escape beyond the bounds of jurisdiction. So they think in the courts of the laws of the land, I'll just go to a country where they can't extradite me back. But where are you going to go to run away from God? Where will you run to? Number three, it's possible for the guilty to be brought to trial. And then three, because of insufficient evidence or legal loophole or just the trial process by itself. won't be any misrepresentation or lack of information or a loophole in God's judgment. And then number four, it's possible for the guilty but convicted to escape from their prison. The prisoner's trying to do that all the time. Let me get out of here. No one's going to escape from eternal torment. They might if the devil were the doorkeeper, but he's not. Can't escape even the judgment of God. Can't get out of it. Can't avoid it. You know, this week, I had jury duty. Got summoned here to the court down there in Chula Vista. Not just a while back, but my date was, they didn't call me Tuesday, but called me Monday. Come in Tuesday. Did you know there are 17 possible ways to get out of court, out of jury duty? I request an excuse from service. 17 ways, and if these aren't good enough, number 18 just says other. I can write my own excuse. I don't have to show up, but I did show up. I didn't get called on a jury. I was juror number 45 out of the 50 that were there, and so they found 12 in an alternate that was served before they ever got to my name. But I didn't show up for the duty. I was sure glad I was number 45 because I kept counting. You know, it's time the lawyers to get the, well, I don't want number 6 there until they play, oh man, I'm number 32 and I'm 45. I think I'm okay. You can escape, but not God's judgment. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Can't escape. Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed that the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. So you may think that you can escape God's judgment. You may think, well, I just won't show up. I'll just not answer the summons. Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will. Number 3. God's judgment is righteous. It's righteous. Paul, in writing to Timothy, uses that same phrase in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. The Lord, the righteous judge. So judge me in that day. It means that he's just. If he's righteous, he's right. God's judgment being righteous, it means it's without prejudice or partiality. God's judgment is by the book. If it's a righteous judgment, it's accurate, it's correct, it's true, it's straight. It's righteous. In Romans chapter 2, the same verse, or the text that was read to us this morning, verse 11 says there's no respect of persons with God. My judgment's kind of partial. Yeah. I'd rather, my boys did something wrong, I'd rather give them a stern lecture than maybe something else. I'm kind of soft-hearted. I cry at movies. I cried when Old Yeller was shot. I hope I didn't spoil the ending. But woe to that man who thinks he's going to face a God of his own stature. Woe to that man who thinks, I'm going to face a God who acts like I do. I'm not going to be able to barter with God in judgment. I can't just throw a tantrum. Get out of it. I can't smooge God. Hey, sugar. Can't do that. It's a righteous judge. Number 4. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to your deeds, my deeds, individually. I know Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 begins, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But keep reading. For we are his, meaning God's, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which, here it is, God. another with my identity. God ordained that I should do that. Now, my idea that we need to pray every day, God ordained that. God did it. Or to distribute, or to minister, to look out for one another. Those are things that God ordained, and because we've been saved by faith through grace, we walk in these things ordained by God. And it has rewards. It's in the text. There's rewards for if evil deeds. In other words, if I don't do these things that God directed. In the text, in Romans chapter 2, verse 5, it says, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So if I don't repent, if I harden my heart against doing these things that God ordained, I treasure for myself God's wrath. In verses 8 and 9, but unto them that are contentious, God ordained a way that we are to walk. I'm not to be contentious. He says, and those that do not obey the truth. Ooh, what's the truth? Thy word is truth. If I don't obey His word, His truth, you're obeying unrighteousness. You have indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish. Judgment according to my deeds. There's a reward for the good deeds. In verse 10, glory, honor, peace to every man that works good. That's what I want. Number 5, the last one. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel which I preach. Again, judgments according to the gospel. They added just one other piece of information want to think about for a moment. We may think God doesn't know what I've done. No one does. I've kept it a secret. I'm not being called into judgment for that. I did that under the cover of darkness. Or I did that over in National City and I worship in Imperial Beach. God doesn't know. I'm sure. I've covered that up. God shall judge the secrets. Secrets. Go to Psalm 44, verse 20. I didn't have this in your notes. Psalm 44, verse, beginning of verse 20. If we've forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For He knows the secrets of the heart. I had it so well hidden. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. And He doesn't stop there. He says, with every secret thing. My secrets. God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel or the truth, the word of God, the Bible. Have a conclusion in this verse. 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning of verse 7. And we'll sing our song of invitation. 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning of verse 7. To you who are troubled, just this lesson kind of troubles you. Saying, oh my, I haven't lived quite correctly. I haven't obeyed the gospel. And the judgment of God will be against me because I haven't obeyed the truth. Paul said, if that troubles you, Paul gives a word of comfort. If you are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus, so here's a time of peace that he's offering. Here's a time of rest, of comfort. If you want peace in that day, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God, and here it is, and upon them that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the presence of God and from the glory of his might, when he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be admired with all them that believe. Speaking of a judgment day, vengeance. We already know what the judgment of God will be like, those characteristics. Those that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. People sometimes wonder, why do you always extend that invitation after a lesson? An invitation to obey the gospel, the good news that God sent his Son to save us from our sins. Why do you do that? Because of this reason right here. We want people to avoid the wrath of God, escape that. Can't escape judgment, but escape wrath. You're here this morning, and that's where you are. But if you are one of those who have heard the good news that Jesus saves, that Jesus is God's Son, the promised Messiah, and you believe that, John 8, verse 24, even Jesus himself said, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And Jesus also said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all in like manner perish. So already no three requirements for salvation. You have to hear it. Because how can anybody believe in whom they've not heard? Then you need to believe the biblical message. Then you need to repent, turn your life around. And you want to, I know you want to confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The Ethiopian did that when Philip preached Jesus unto him in Acts chapter 8. Philip preaches Jesus, the Ethiopian says, here's water, anything stopping me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. Well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So stop the chariot. And they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. They both came up out of the water, and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing, and the Spirit of the Lord caught up Philip and took him to another place. That's the invitation. You go, I don't know what to do. Here it is. You need to believe, hear the good news, the gospel. Believe it. Turn your life around. Call it repentance. Be able to confess your faith to witnesses. That your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And you'll be baptized. In Romans chapter 6 says, you rise to walk in newness of life. From that point on, we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation. While we're singing this song, that's one time to answer that invitation. If that's your desire to be born again, become a Christian, you want to do it right now, while we're singing this song, I'm just going to ask you to come and have a seat beside me. At the end of the song, I'll just lean down and I'll ask you what's on your mind. And you say, Brian, I want to be baptized. That's the answer to the question. What's on your mind? I want to be baptized. So let's stand together. That's the invitation, the exhortation we give at this time.